We are on the final chapter on microfinance. The chapter is basically what we learned through this whole course is looking to some of the caselets, some of the small cases which are there, which take care of the kind of community-based organizations. We dealt with community-based organizations like self-help groups, joint liability groups, the primary agriculture credit societies, the farmer producer organizations, the farmers clubs. These were the basically the community organizations we referred throughout this course. Now, what we are trying to get into this chapter is some of the lessons learned from these caselets, you know, what we are learning, you know, how they are working in the practical situations. Can we have a linkages between these five institutions? For example, the SHGs, JLGs, the FPOs, the kind of PACs, and the farmers clubs. Can we have a linkages between these community-based organizations? That's a question we are going to address through these kind of caselets, what we are seeing. These are the live cases which happen in different parts of the country. They are just compiled. But similar caselets would be available in other parts of the country where you are working or where you will be working. You can also narrate some, you can also share some of these experiences when you go through it with those people also, so that there is a cross learning. The cross learning is very important. We have to learn from each other. What happens in one part of the country should be shared with others. There are various mechanisms through which you can share. Maybe emails are there, maybe forums are there, maybe writing itself, you know. Some of you can even write the kind of, you know, your experiences through the articles, through the journals. You can share your experiences. Let us make a beginning, you know. What happened to these caselets? What we are going to cover? Very simple. These are the people's institutions. These are the community-based organizations. Why do we need these institutions? You know, what are the live cases? You know, for example, the one case I have taken it, the first case you will be seeing is basically from Assam. You know, the second case is through the kind of Punjab, where we have tried to link the joint liability groups with the banking system. What is their experience? How those things have worked? That we shall be sharing. There is a case where we are trying to improve the JLG system through the PACs. This is in East Godavari district of Andhra Pradesh. We will see how the things are there, how the experiences have been there, you know. Basically, we are looking to some kind of, you know, SHGs, they get, you know, transformed into the farmer producer organization. This is the experience of Boramani district in Solapur of Maharashtra, where the first woman FPO came into picture actually. Now, this is very interesting to see how these experiences have been there, you know. We shall also look into farmers clubs and the SHGs and JLGs in Tamil Nadu. We have a farmers club in around Pune in Maharashtra. What is that experience of that club? How they promoted the SHGs? How they promoted the joint liability groups? How they promoted the linkages? That's very important to understand, you know. Can we have a SHGs? Can we even think of a drone pilots, you know? Can we make the SHG members a drone pilots? Is it only theory? No, it can work, you know. We shall see how these things can work. We shall also see a kind of, you know, primary agriculture credit societies and overview, you know, in various parts of the country, how these institutions have worked, what is the experience, what are the learnings, what is the group forming in Kerala. This is one of the good experiences we have learned through joint liability groups. We shall be sharing with you, you know. Be aware that Sri Kshetra Dharmasthala Rural Urban Project, I talked a lot about this agency. They promote the joint liability groups. What is the experience? What is the unique feature? That USP they call, you call. Let us see how that USP is there of this particular thing. We shall see. There is a graduation of SHGs to the POs, you know, our producers organizations. There is a case of the Bihar, you know, we have a Kamla FPO, farmer producer organization. We shall be going through those details. Basically, the idea of all these caselets is draw the lessons, understand that what we learn in the theory is working in practice, how that is transforming their lives, how they are progressing over a period of time, how it is useful to them. This is what is being actually narrated in the small caselets, what we shall be sharing with you. Let me begin with this, RBI and NABARD, because these two institutions are brought very often with you. RBI is a regulator for the entire banking system. Why we require? We require for orderly growth of the banking system, we require a regulator. So Reserve Bank is a regulator. NABARD does supervise the RRBs and the rural cooperatives. By virtue of the Banking Regulation Act, there are some provisions because RBI has transferred the supervisory function to NABARD for the RRBs and the cooperatives. NABARD In addition to kind of supervising the RRBs and cooperatives, they provide the grant support, they provide a concessional refinance, they provide a capacity building support to the various stakeholders, maybe to the clients, maybe to the banking staff, to the NBFC staff. All these stakeholders are supported by NABARD, you know. This is what we have seen in the various chapters, but this is just to recollect you and tell that this is an institution which is having a very interesting role of supervising the RRBs and cooperatives and undertaking the developmental functions. You know. Some of the interventions which NABARD did, they are basically, you know, through the tribal development project, what I called as a WADI project. What they do is, they combine the crop enterprise with the horticulture enterprise. They promote the watershed development. They promote the farmer producer organizations. They promote the SAGs. They promote the joint liability groups. They strengthen the PACs. All these institutions which we have seen, they are promoted, they are supported by NABARD. And this is just to keep a kind of link between the NABARD and the various CBOs, community-based organizations, what we have in this country. This is what is the link actually. NABARD has done the kind of, you know, three P's I call them, you know. One is the planet, you know. They have gone for a lot of environment-friendly projects, a lot of environment-friendly interventions, you know. They go for the profits, but the most important P for NABARD is promoting the people institutions. Promoting the, or making an investment in people, promoting the livelihood activities for the poor, for the grassroots level institutions, like I named very often, self-help groups, joint liability groups, farmers club, primary agriculture credit society, farmer producer organizations, and other people's institutions. They have been investing a lot on these institutions. And you'll be asking why. The answer is here. These institutions have provided a rich dividend, especially during the COVID-19, you know. How? By supplying the essential goods like vegetables, fruits, milk to the masses when the supply chains were disrupted. So these institutions came to our rescue, especially in the pandemic, and it ensured that the supplies of the, because without food and milk, vegetables, we cannot survive, you know. So this was the most important thing which was done by the community-based institutions for providing these kind of necessary items to the people in the urban areas. They ensure that the supplies take place from the rural areas to the urban towns or the cities, you know. Please remember, this is a point I made it twice, thrice, you know. The entire economy was contracted during the kind of pandemic, except for agriculture. Agriculture is one of the sectors which has seen a reasonable growth even during pandemic, and that is what I wanted to highlight here. Why should we, you know, this is what I said, because these institutions, they help us to maintain the supply chain. These institutions, they help us to keep a kind of supply chains alive, you know, especially in the medical emergency like COVID, it helped, you know. The COVID-19 taught us one important lesson. We must nurture, we must strengthen, we must scale up these community-based institutions, especially during the period safer time, you know. We must promote these institutions, we must nurture, we must strengthen them during the safer period so that at the bad points, we get a dividend from these institutions. You know. The interesting part is how these institutions are interlinked, that we shall see in this chapter. You know. Few caselets, as I explained to you, they are covered in this chapter. They are basically indicative in nature. This is what I wanted to highlight. These are indicative in nature. They are not exhaustive. You may see many similar cases in your surrounding. You must, you know, get into those, must document and share with others. This is the first caselet. Let me begin with it, you know. This is from Assam, you know. It is basically Kokrajhar district of Assam. What they were doing? What was the challenge? These caselets have been three or four parts. Basically, what is the challenge? How the challenge is addressed? And what is the outcome? These are what is we'll be dealing with each caselet, you know. This is the first caselet. Let me begin. Basically, the rural women, they formed this self-help group. The name is immaterial here. You can, the groups give their own names because that's a description for them. These are unregistered groups, but they start with the savings. Slowly, they get involved with the banks to get credit and then undertake livelihood activities. They get a skill support from the NGOs and they prosper over a period of time. This exactly happened in this case. These women were having a skill. the skill available with these people was basically a bamboo basket making, you know. They had the skill, they had the raw material, but they could not pursue it to the extent it was required, you know. Why? The constraint was the financial support, you know. They were not having the capital, they were not having the credit support for pursuing these activities. And this challenge is addressed through this case law. They formed SAG, as I told you, they formed SAG that was under the National Rural Livelihood Mission. They were trained, very important, one group formed, they were trained through the suitable program, they were provided a kind of revolving fund to ensure that their eligibility for the bank loan goes up actually. That was the idea of the revolving fund, you know. Formally, a loan of rupees 1 lakh was sanctioned to the SAG by a regional rural bank in the district, you know. So first the group formed, fine, the training was imparted, the revolving fund was imparted, revolving fund was provided to improve their eligibility for getting a larger credit support from the banking system. Finally, a loan came up about a lakh of rupees. What happened to the loan? Let us see on that case. What happened to the effect of intervention? Intervention is what? They were knowing the basket making. They wanted a credit support. The credit support came from the RRB. They tried to develop this product and they were selling in the local market. Since the local raw material was available, they were able to give some kind of, you know, opportunity for the farmers to market their produce also. You know. Please remember, very interesting. 80% of the loan, about a lakh of rupees loan was taken by this group. About 80% of the loan has already been repaid by the group. Now, the regular repayment, as I said, if you remember those 7 R's of the SAGs, last R, or one of the R's which I used to refer was the repayment. This group did that activity. They took the loan, they repaid the loan. That improved their credibility with the banking system. That is very important to understand. Once you give back the loan to the banking system, you improve your relationship with the banking system so that you get more credit as and when you need it, you know. Please remember, despite the COVID-19 pandemic, the group repaid the loan and created a better relationship with the banking system, you know. This is very important. I wanted to highlight that they had a problem, but they overcome the problem. They repaid the loan in time. They had a good liaison with the banking system. This is the group which were, these are the kind of items which these guys were involved. Just I wanted to highlight that what the product they were making and how they survived, how they repaid the loans. This is what happens. Let me look to a kind of second caselet. Please remember, first I covered a basket making from Assam. Now I'm moving to Punjab, you know, where I have a caselet. What happened? There was a very, very simple exercise. The DCCB was in loss actually. The Fatehgarh DCCB was in loss, you know. They wanted to improve their kind of financial performance, you know. How they can do? They can add another vertical. They can strengthen their existing verticals. So what they did was, they kind of came to a collaboration between NABARD and the bank took place. These women were unable to diversify their economic activities, you know. Because of what? Because they don't have the credit facility. They don't have the kind of, you know, capital support which they were requiring. Informal loans were very costly. Consequently, they did not borrow from the informal loans. So the DCCB came into picture. They also wanted to improve their financial performance. These women also wanted to improve their financial performance by undertaking the economic activities. So the joint liability groups were promoted, and the how that intervention came to a kind of final thing, let us see on that. There is a collaboration, as I explained to you, collaboration between NABARD and the DCCB. DCCB Fatehgarh, you know, each district, they have a district central cooperative bank, and in this case, it's a Fatehgarh in Punjab. What they decided? They had a kind of meeting and they decided, can we not promote joint liability groups? For what? For strengthening the balance sheet of the DCCB, as well as providing the support to those women who wanted to pursue the activities, you know. So the grant support was provided by NABARD to about 1,700 JLGs were supported, you know, in 2018. In terms of achievement, you know, I've given you those figures, you know, 1,487 JLGs were supported against a target of 1,700, fairly good achievement. These are the kind of number of people, you know, 5,948. So average about, you know, 4 to 5 people were supported by each JLG. That's what we understood in the theory. So that practically it is happening. The success was due to what? The bank issued a credit card. The bank monitored actually. Please remember, not only credit, they monitored even. Training is, of course, there, you know. Besides training, the monitoring is important. The bank did it. Each member of the JLG was covered through an insurance cover, you know, that Prime Minister's, you know, Suraksha Bhima Yojana, the Pradhan Mantri Jyoti Bhima Yojana, Atal Pension Yojana, all these schemes, they were, you know, provided to these members of the joint liability groups. Very important. They're not only credit, it has gone beyond credit. It has gone to the insurance, because the penetration of these insurance schemes is less in the rural areas. So this was achieved through this kind of intervention. So credit support, insurance cover, or what I call as the social security cover, came in the insurance products. Let us see what happens on that. What happened to the effect now? Please remember, the group used the loans for what? For income generating activities. The recovery has been about 96%. 96% is the recovery. The group got the loan. The bank improved its financial position. They improved a balance sheet of the banking system. So all these things, this is a win-win situation for the joint liability group members as well as for the banks. You know, this is very interesting to note here. So the impact has been very interesting. Recovery is good. They undertook the income generating activities, repaid the loans. The banking system is happy. The clients are happy because they improved their income levels. These are the activities which you can see, various activities which are pursued by these women of the joint liability groups in Punjab. These photographs are just to convince you that these are the live stories which happens from the field. We compile, maybe we have a references which I shall share with you at the end, but these are borrowed from the literature, which are of recent origin. You know, this is the third case. First we saw Assam, then we went to Punjab. Now we are going back to Andhra, you know. Let us see what happens, you know. Here the challenge was about 70-80% of the farmers were, you know, they were leasing in the land. They were the small guys. They were undertaking a capital intensive farming, please remember. But capital becomes a problem for these people, you know. The farmers were requiring capital, but it was not available, you know. Their conditions deteriorated in the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, for obvious reasons, you know. Because the COVID-19 pandemic, all of us were affected. These guys were also affected. Now, how they improved, let us see. The DCCB and NABARD, the DCCB in this case is the East Godavari district of Andhra Pradesh and NABARD. They prepared a scheme for promotion of the joint liability groups. The DCCB trained their primary agriculture credit society officials. Please remember, this product is getting implemented through the PACS, Primary Agriculture Credit Society. So the staff of the PACS were trained actually. The activities were identified and were supported through credit. Credit is there, but you have to route through various channels which are available, which suits the local kind of environment. That's what you have to do it, you know. What the PACS did, they identified the farmers with the weak financial position and they were formed into the joint liability groups because, as I said, 4 to 6 members or up to 10 members can be the members in the JLGs. Normal size is about 6 people join a group so that it becomes more, you know, manageable, more effective. But up to 10 you can have. Minimum is 4, maximum is 10. These are informal groups I shared with you earlier also. So these groups are formed. These groups are formed by the primary agriculture societies in East Godavari. There were also the families who lost their jobs due to pandemic. I said, the pandemic affected the livelihood activity. It had a disruption in the livelihood. And the guys are, because these guys are interested to pursue their alternate employment now. Because once it is affected, okay, but they have to stand on their own feet and they have to move forward. So the kind of alternate employment activities were identified and were pursued, you know. What are the activities we shall show you? About 5,000 beneficiaries were supported through 1,000 JLGs. So each JLG has an average of 5 members, you know. Income generating activities were identified by the group members. Let us see. These are the activities. Maybe flower decoration, maybe milk vending, maybe sale of fruits, like what we do is the trading, you know. Then we had a vegetable cultivation, washing of clothes, all these activities. Please remember, activity we need not prescribe from top. The activities have to be identified by the promoting agency and the members. They know which are the activities which can be having a demand in that area so that they undertake the kind of activity and they succeed in getting a profit out of it. Ultimately, they have to survive. So, once you have the effective activity, so these guys in Andhra, they undertook these kind of activities, baby flower decoration, milk vending, sale of fruits, vegetable cultivation, washing of clothes. This helped in reducing what? These activities were pursued. Two things happened very prominently. One, it reduced the migration. It increased the employment. And the third important thing, that they were able to repay the loans. And getting loans is easy, but repaying is also important. Because unless you repay, you cannot get the loan next time, you know. So the repayment of loan enabled these guys to get the fresh loans from the PSCS. That's very important thing which happened because of these JLGs in Andhra Pradesh. What is the way forward? What I'm looking to it, you know? Basically, I'm thinking that these PACs, you know, they joined DCCB, East Godavari, to promote the joint liability groups, identified the activities, and supported them through credit. What an impact, you know, very simple words had happened. It provided the employment to them. It provided the improved financial status to the farmers. It improved the balance sheet of the PSCS and also of the DCCB. Please remember. So both got benefited. The JLG members got benefited. The PACs got benefited. Once the PACs get benefited, the DCCB, which is at a higher level, they also get benefited because the repayments are good actually. All these institutions, they look to forward to give credit, but also to get back their credit with interest. This is very important to understand. So both win-win. PACs also won. DCCB got benefit. The JLG members got benefit. So this was the third case. Assam, Punjab, Andhra Pradesh. Let us see what happens. Different parts I have chosen intentionally so that you get an idea that you can have a kind of, maybe the activities could be different, the approach could be different, but ultimately it's a success which is more important for these groups. You know. This is the fourth, I'm coming to fourth caselet where I'm referring to Maharashtra. This is basically a lady, Anita. She is from a small village in Solapur district of Maharashtra. She formed 10 SHGs, very important, you know. Each SHG has about 10 members, you know. So total members were about 100, you know. These members, these SHG members, they joined together and promoted a FPO. She was very clear in her mind, she wanted to promote a larger group. First she promoted a SHG, then she wanted to make it a FPO, which is a larger organization. She realized there are problems in convincing the people. In the initial phase, she did fail actually to convince the people to promote the FPO, Farmer Producer Organization. But she did not lose her patience. She pursued it. Perseverance was continued by Anita and she promoted the People's Institution. And this is the big lesson we have to learn. Even if you fail in the initial stages, no problem. Your perseverance is important because that is the thing which leads to a success at a later stage. She had a problem in convincing other members to undertake a APO route, but slowly she convinced them and finally succeeded in promoting the first women producer organization in the state. What she did, you know, basically she was providing the inputs actually. She procured the inputs collectively. She got the first activity she did was with the support of Agriculture Technology Management Agency, what in short we call it ATMA. She got a free seeds actually to the group members, you know, for demonstration purposes. Then slowly what happened, she is here. Mrs. Anita, you know, as I said, initially she had a problem, but she overcame. Because community-based organization, the problem is of mobilizing the people. It's not an easy thing. It takes time, but she did not lose her heart. She continued her efforts and she promoted the first APO with 1400 members. And that is the Yashaswini Agro Producer Company in Solapur, you know. And this is what I said. It was the first woman APO in Maharashtra, you know. What they did? They established a mill. They underwent the cleaning activity, getting the grains and then cleaning them, grading them. And they have a brand. They developed a brand. All of us, we talk in management jargon, we must have a brand. These ladies, they also developed their own brand, which they call it Yashaswini. They took the grains, they took the pulses, they milled it and supplied to the consumer directly, B2C. Very important, you know. They supplied to the shops, they supplied to the malls. This is basically marketing. Marketing need not be one strategy. They went to the shops, they went to the malls, they went to the customers to sell their produce. Please remember, they had a kind of very interesting thing. They faced a higher price because they were not polished actually. In the processing activity, this is very important, they got a higher price actually because the dal which they used to market was not polished, you know. People were convinced to the value addition by the FPO, and that value addition had been very rewarding for this particular group. They succeeded in getting a higher price, widening their customer base through direct sale, through malls, through shops. Once you have a turnover and you have a better price, there is no chance that you will see a failure. The other products which these FPO took was papad, pickles. I call them three P's, you know, papad, pickle, powder. She continued with that and also went with the dal, which was milled by getting the raw material from the farmers and seeing that they are provided to the customers directly or through the malls or through the shops and getting a better price also. One thing, this is an important message for us. You know, the regional rural bank in that area sanctioned an individual loan of 50,000 rupees to about 800 members, you know, of the joint liability groups, which were formed by the PO under the NABARD scheme. So this is one thing. They got a support of about 50,000 rupees for each member, 800 people getting a support at a point of time. Now this is where the Anita's work is important. She has already been recognized and she has been awarded adequately for her contribution to the whole process of promoting the women FPO in Maharashtra. So we first case we saw Assam, then we went to Punjab, then we went to Andhra Pradesh, then we went to Maharashtra. Let us see what we have further in this store. You know, this is the perspective she was narrating. Anita was telling, she wants to promote more FPOs actually, and she has succeeded also. She has formed about, you know, 5 FPOs, additional FPOs she has formed in the district. You know, so the understand the linkages between these institutions. Initial approach was SAG, slowly converted them into FPO. Now this FPO is forming another FPOs, you know. So that's a chain of institutions which is being emerging, which is being formed, which is the objective of these kind of programs when we pursue it. You know. They have something like 5,000 JLGs have been formed by these FPO, maybe various parts of the, it's given there, Sholapur, Pandharpur, and all those blocks of Sholapur district. These JLGs are for agriculture and allied activities. Please remember that earlier I said, these JLG members, they get adequate credit support from the banking system, which is the main intention when we started to understand this product. This is to convince you that what is required is initially the social mobilization, the slowly it works actually. This is Tamil Nadu. This is what we thought we must share within different parts, you know. So these cases are brought intentionally to see that different parts are getting different experiences, different institutions are coming up, you know. Maybe what we realize in Tamil Nadu was, these are the farmers clubs, you know. These success was defined, they were the successful farmers club. Naturally, the concept comes, what is success? Success was defined in terms of the activities. The FPO, the farmers club, which provides more activities, it was treated as successful FPO, you know, or a successful farmers club, you know. What role they are playing? They play a role of extension. Extension in the sense, transfer of technology from the universities or from the laboratories to the farmers' field. They reduce the cost of production because they encourage the use of technology. The moment I go for use of technology, my cost of production goes down. You know. Also improve my farm practices. You know. The experience of this farmer club was indicating that the crop yield levels have gone up from has gone by 30 to 50%. From the existing level, the yield has improved by about 30 to 50% because of improved practices, because of technology transfer. And naturally, once the yield goes up, the cost of production comes down. And the cost comes down, natural effect is improving the income levels of the farmers. This is what we wanted, the Tamil Nadu experience we are continuing with it. What they exactly did, you know, they promoted 24, you know, farmers clubs were there. They promoted the SAGs. Numbers are there in front of you. You can just see it. 12 SAGs. 63 JLGs were promoted by the Farmers Club. Now what I'm trying to give you, one institution is promoting the other institution. Or we are seeing the linkages between these institutions, you know. This is what we are seeing. 11 of the 24 clubs in the sense the Farmers Club, they initiated the process of promoting the FPO. So slowly the APO, the farmer clubs are getting converted into the APOs, farmer producer organizations are emerging. This is how the evolving process is there, moving from SAGs to JLGs, JLGs to APOs, APOs to something like the federation of the APOs are emerging now in some cases. This is what happened in that that club, you know. Banks, you know, they accommodated a large number of farmers club members based on their individual capacities. Please remember, individual capacities are more important, not necessarily because of the patronage of the farmers club. Because of the these loans were appraised on individual basis, but they were the members of the farmers clubs. So being a member of the farmer club, it was easy for the members to get the credit support from the banking system. These loans were, we went to little more details, we realized the loans were sanctioned basically on the agricultural jewel loans for which the recovery was assured. There was not much, you know, that's what I wrote a final word, you know. Without seeking courtesy of the farmers club, these members got the loans, they used it and repaid also, you know. So these institutions are enabling us to get the credit from the banking system and also promoting the culture of repaying these loans. This is something, you know, the JLGs were promoted actually more by the farmers club than the SAGs. That's what the numbers were showing you, you know, earlier slide, 12 SAGs, 63 JLGs. So the farmers club, they preferred to promote the JLGs actually. Now, this is very important to understand, you know, that the preference for one institution, here the preference was on JLGs, you know. They promoted the farmers clubs, you know, they promoted the APOs. Now, please understand, farmers clubs are informal institutions, but farmer producer organizations are the formal institutions. They are registered under the Company Act or under the Cooperative Societies Act. So the informal institutions to formal institutions, this is a transit which I have shown you. This is the case in Maharashtra we have seen. We have seen the another case in Tamil Nadu where the moving from informal community organizations to a formal community organizations. This is a transit which is going on. This is a journey which is going on. And this is happening in the reality where people do get the support from different institutions. Thank you very much.